This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Good morning. I'm Lante. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise with us as well. Social distancing in the other room. I've been here since 2 o'clock getting my stats ready for tomorrow. I somehow set this up to where I don't have anything to do today on the show, and you guys are going to carry us. So here's how we're doing this, and I don't know if we even kind of talked about this week. How you doing, by the way?
Not bad, not bad.
I've been in here since 2, and I was still late getting to the microphone, as is normal for me.
I'm going
to turn Trevor's mic off. He's in there Cloroxing everywhere because I was in that room. He doesn't trust me. And I don't blame him one bit. All right, so what this is kind of my dumb brainchild, I'm going to put it that way. And I said this the other day, I'm going to make it quick. I saw that Tom Dempsey had passed away, the former kicker for the New Orleans Saints. He passed away of the COVID-19, actually. And, you know, in the story, they said, you know, he had kicked a 63-yard field goal. And I, just as I was reading the story, I'm like, yep, longest ever. And then the next sentence said, that's not right, because Matt Prater had kicked a 64-yarder for the Denver Broncos. And yep. I'm like, I forgot all about the fact that Matt Prater had beaten that record. And I started thinking to myself, I wonder how many records out there that I still think are records that aren't. So I said, we should do a show, because we're bored right now, and what else are we going to do? We should do a show where we go through records of different sports, Major League Baseball, NBA, that kind of stuff. A lot of it, you know, everybody kind of knows who has the all-time home run leader in Major League Baseball, unfortunately, that one guy. But do you really know? And, you know, I mean, like top five, and then what current player is kind of close to that? And then I thought to myself, why don't we kind of organize it by the major sports? So I'm doing PGA, NASCAR, and NHL. I know those aren't the major. NHL, maybe. I've got Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Derek has college only. And Trevor has NFL. Right, Trevor? You're doing NFL. Yeah. So he's doing NFL. And then you guys are both doing Illinois basketball and Illinois football, and also college basketball and college football. So today, starting off the show here, we're going to rip through college basketball and football superlatives. And then at 4:30, Adam Fletcher, Illini strength and conditioning coach, is going to join us. We're going to do a Mettler mix-up at 4:50. And then next hour, we're going to focus on Illinois football and Illinois basketball and the record books. I'm looking forward to that. Like, all-time leading rusher at Illinois. I know who it is, but I'm looking forward to kind of going through all that and finding out and kind of remembering, you know, who had the most, you know, yards gained in a single season in a game, et cetera. So we'll do all that today. I hope everybody enjoys it. Basically, this is us doing work. You be lazy. You just get all the answers.
Hopefully our research is adequate.
Well, and I've already thought of that. Can we just kind of put a thing at the start of this to say, because I've done this before where I've totally messed everything up, but we did it to the best of our ability.
Yep.
So we're going to do that. Again, Adam Fletcher, the old Fletch, he's the tall dude in the suit that's always on the bench there with the Illini basketball team. I've never talked to Adam, so I'm excited to visit with him today at 4:30 and ask him about, I'm going to ask him if he can give me a workout program.
I saw him at Harvest Market when I was getting groceries last week.
Was he buying just junk food?
Well, no, I was going to say I felt I felt bad,
yeah,
because I saw his cart.
Ooh.
He was in line behind me, and I'm looking at my cart, and I'm like, the Pringles,
yeah,
unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I look at his cart, and there's like broccoli, and I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's all green.
You know, it looked like a pretty healthy cart of food.
Man.
We got to ask him what workouts he's recommending for the guys back home.
Yeah, and I do want to ask him, what's the worst food you eat?
Well, DB said on our airwaves last week that
ice cream.
He chows down on some donuts.
Oh, donuts, that's right.
On the road.
So I'm gonna ask
him. Grill him about that.
Okay, if that's the worst thing he eats. So Adam Fletcher at 4:30. All right, boys, let's get to it. College basketball and college football. We kind of are going through the record books. Who wants to start? You want to start with college basketball?
I'll take it.
Okay, let's start college basketball. Right. So basically, Pipes has a lot of different records, and Trevor and I will just kind of mix in and mingle.
Is he quizzing us, or is he just listing it?
I might throw in a question here and there.
Yeah, okay, let's do that, you know. Let's do that.
All right, so college basketball, I have stats since 1948-49.
That's fair.
So That's anything fair. Before that, I apologize. to the record holder.
Chicago YMCA getting pissed.
Yeah, no credit ever.
So let's start individual. Most career points in college basketball history. Do you guys have a guess?
Most career points in college basketball. I'll say...
got to be someone who was there 4 years.
Pistol Pete?
Pistol Pete Maravich.
Okay.
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 3,667, and he only played 3 years.
Oh, did he really?
As a freshman, he averaged 44 a game. He averaged about 44 a game. A little bit more than 44 a game as a sophomore, 44 and a half as a junior.
He really didn't get any better.
Nice.
Well, think about how many
really
good...
really flatlined after that.
Think about how many good high-scoring games Trent Frazier has had, and he just cracked 1,000 at the end of his junior year.
Wow.
And so to think that he cracked 3,000 by the goodness. End of his junior year.
And averaged 44 a game. That's higher... than most guys ever get in a career or in one single game. All right, so Pistol Pete, did you list out like the top two or three?
I didn't do – there was some smaller school.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to list a bunch of guys you guys never heard of.
Fair enough.
So notables from the top 10, number 6, Doug McDermott from Creighton.
Creighton, really?
Had 3,150. And 10th, Hersey Hawkins from Bradley.
From Bradley.
Just over 3,000.
Two Missouri Valley guys. Doug Dermott, Creighton was still in the Valley, I think, when that happened.
I believe you're right.
So, and Hersey Hawkins was incredible from Bradley. All right, that's cool. And okay.
I have a top 4 Big Ten career points list here. Calvert Chaney, number 1.
Wow.
Indiana, 2,613. Played from 90 to 93. I never heard of this guy in second, Sean Respert.
Oh, yeah, from Michigan State.
Michigan State, 91.
S-H-A-W-N, Sean Respert,
91 to 95, he had 2,531 points. I'll ask you guys if you can name number 3 or number 4.
Glenn Robinson.
Not a Glenn Robinson, okay. But it is a Glenn.
I don't know.
Glenn Rice, number 3, from Michigan, 2,442 points.
I've erased him from my mind.
Played from 86 to 89.
Played on the team that beat Illinois, of course.
And then a player that played 88 to 91 at the other Michigan school. Can you tell me who it was?
At Michigan State?
It feels like Cassius Winston has been there since 19.
No doubt.
And I know it's not him.
It's a guard, isn't it?
Yes.
I can't think of his name.
Steve Smith. 2,263.
most normal sounding ever, name ever.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the top 4 Big Ten career points.
You know, kind of the cool thing about that is that you had never even heard of Sean Respert.
I know.
So this is a cool experiment to where you guys can kind of learn a little bit as we go.
Sean Respert takes away my breath.
Because basically,
get it?
Back to 1950. Yeah, I did get that.
Okay.
1950 on, I pretty much know all these guys.
Hey, you can call me Sal. Pointed out that there was no 3-point line for Pistol Pete either.
Yeah, no doubt. Man.
So he wasn't even able to, you know, score in bunches from
incredible.
From deep.
Incredible.
He still passed because he had 5 assists a game.
I was going to say.
On his career. So he dished it out a couple of times.
He may be the best college player ever. You know, college basketball.
Stats say so.
It's incredible.
All right, most points in a season in the Big Ten.
Ooh. Chaney?
Nope.
Glenn?
Which one?
Glenn Rice.
Nope.
Wow, Glenn, big dog.
Big dog. Glenn dog. Big dog Glenn Robinson from Purdue had 1,030 points in a season that averaged to 30.3 points per game for Purdue in 1993-94.
I've heard the guys tell me in our Big Ten fantasy, they were doing it then. I wasn't. I've heard them tell me that like if you had the number one pick, you almost pretty much won the league because you'd get Big Dog and he would double-double and lead in every stat category. He was incredible.
Crazy. Want to move your rebounds?
Yep.
All right, most career rebounds. Kenneth Faried.
I was going to say, I don't think I know him.
Morehead State.
Yeah.
Might recognize him from the NBA.
Oh,
played for the Nuggets some. 2008-11, played Morehead State. 1,673 rebounds.
Okay.
They beat somebody.
I was
going to
say, they won a game.
I don't know if it was Louisville. Yeah,
they did beat somebody. I'll let you effort that.
Okay.
In the other room. That's awesome.
Okay. Number 2, you've heard the name. He played at Wake Forest.
Oh, Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Second all-time in rebounds with 1,570, played 94 to 97.
Wow, this is career.
career.
Okay.
His senior year, he averaged 20 and 15.
Okay.
So,
pretty good.
Morehead State beat Louisville 62-61.
Good call on
that. 2011. Kenneth Reed's last year there with 4.3 seconds left, he hit a three-pointer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good stuff. Tim Duncan, you know, average NBA guy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I think he won five titles.
Didn't he win back-to-back MVPs or did he not?
I would assume.
Not sure.
He was incredible.
I feel like if nothing else, he won it one year in the early 2000s and then got second the next year.
Let's get him on. Actually, he never does that. Remember Sports Illustrated did an interview with him and it was like he was on the cover. Because it's like David Robinson, my goodness. Tim Duncan speaks like he never spoke.
Right. That's the headline.
So it was like, whoa. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we finally heard from him.
One note on Fareed. My brother played in the OVC, Josh Parker. He was smart enough to be one year late. Came to the OVC the year after Kenneth Fareed left the league.
That's awesome.
As a big man, you don't want to face
that. Heady move there.
Good move, yeah.
And then number three, career rebounds, Derek Coleman, Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah. SIU played him.
1987 to 90, he had over 1,500 rebounds as well in the career. Big Ten, can you tell me the all-time, and this is a while back.
All-time leading rebounders. All-time Jerry leading Lucas.
That is it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Jordan Murphy.
Yeah, well.
I thought so, too.
Didn't he break a record, or was it that maybe Minnesota?
It's Minnesota. We
double-checked and everything. And,
okay.
Huh, all right.
Yeah, because I was saying, I think last year, I thought I had heard Murphy was the new all-time leader, but Jerry Lucas with over 1,400 career rebounds.
Man.
1959 to 62. He holds the most in a season, also 16.8 a game in 61-62.
That's pretty much counting on a guy to grab a lot of boards.
Yep. And Murphy, Jordan Murphy, number two with 1,305.
Wow.
Played 2016 to 2019. Number three career Big Ten rebounds, also played recently. Can you tell me who it was?
What team? Does that give it away?
Yes. You just have a passion for this team. You passionately
I don't like
them or dislike them.
How about Jared Solinger?
No.
We
talked about this team yesterday.
Indiana?
No.
I don't know.
You made a comparison to a trash can.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Who would it be?
You wouldn't think.
Brian Bush?
Kaminsky?
No.
Happ?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Ethan Happ, third all-time career rebounds.
Wow.
Over 1,200.
So two of the top three guys are Jordan Murphy and Ethan Happ.
Incredible.
Two guys that don't even necessarily look like they could go up and grab a rebound over somebody.
I don't know. Jordan Murphy did.
He wasn't tall.
You're right,
but he was kind of like stocky.
He was like Dennis Rodman. He just wanted the ball.
Yeah, he didn't look like a Nana Egwu.
Good point.
Yeah.
He just wanted the ball.
Okay. Want assist?
Yeah, let's go assist. I'll go pistol.
No.
Steve Nash.
That's a good guess. I don't have him on this list. I have the top three. Number one, played at Duke in the early 90s.
Jay? No, Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley, okay.
He had 1,076 career assists.
Wow.
Number two, hadn't heard of this guy, and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Played at NC State, 88 to 91. Chris...
Corciani. Yep. Good call.
Okay. And then never heard of this guy. He played North Carolina 97-2000. Ed Cota.
Yeah. COTA.
Yeah. Ed Cota.
I didn't know he was that good. He's number three all time on the assists.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Big Ten career assists.
Isn't Dimitri McKamey somewhere on this list?
I only had the top three. I'm sure he is.
So he's not.
I thought he was like top five, maybe. But
top three in the Big Ten.
One player from Illinois is on this list.
I'll say I know he's not from. Well, he was from Illinois. Isaiah Thomas.
No.
How about Bruce?
Bruce Douglas, number three.
Bruce,
765 career assists.
Give me the teams of the other two.
Same team.
Mm.
This record was just broken this year.
Mm. Same team as Bruce.
No, same team.
Well, Cassius.
Number one and number two are in the same team.
Cassius, right?
Cassius, number one, 890 career assists.
Wow. And then, how about Lucas?
Nope.
No? What was his name? Kalen Lucas. I don't know. I don't know who the other one would be. There's a lot
of... He won a title.
Oh, Mateen.
Mateen Cleaves. 816.
Isn't that amazing? You say one thing like he won a title and it's boom.
Yep.
You know it immediately.
And then before we go football, you want to do some quick coaches stats?
Yes. Yeah, let's
Most
do it.
Most career wins as a coach in college basketball.
Would that
We're
be,
doing D1.
Okay, D1. Is that, man, I want to say something, but then I'm thinking, is it old school? Be John Wooden.
No.
No?
Boeheim.
Boeheim is second. With 1,065.
Dean Smith?
Dean Smith is fifth, 879.
Krzyzewski?
Coach K is number one, over 1,100.
Man.
Number three and number four.
Oh, boy.
So number Coach four K, is still coaching. Number Boeheim. Three is not.
Number four is still coaching.
Roy Williams?
Yeah.
Roy
Williams, good call.
885.
Okay.
I don't know who number three is.
I don't know.
Coach in the Big Ten.
Gene?
Nope. Rival of Gene.
Oh, Bobby Knight.
Bob Knight, 899.
Okay.
Wow.
I've lost track of every Knight stat.
How annoying would that be if you were sitting on 899 career wins?
Good.
I'd almost come out of retirement right now for an exhibition game just to get my 900.
He won a few more at Texas Tech, but not enough to get to 900, I guess.
Most Final Four appearances. There's two tied for the top.
Is it Coach K?
Coach K is one.
And Roy?
Nope. Roy is fourth with nine.
I want to say
Coach K has 12.
Wooden.
Wooden has 12.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, they've got national titles. He's got what, 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll help you get to a Final Four or two.
Dean Smith has 11 Final Four appearances. Tom Izzo has 8.
Wow.
Most Final Fours without a title. Guy Lewis, Houston, with 5.
Did
Been
he
to five
really?
Final Fours without winning a title.
He always had
That's worse than the Bills.
Checkered coach.
Jeez Louise.
Guy Lewis.
Can you imagine going to five Final Fours and never getting the job done?
Did they not? They never won it? I guess they didn't, even with Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Weren't they both on Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And then they both played with the Rockets.
Right.
Weird.
Is that right? Is that
weird?
Am I saying that right? That's incredible.
Well, Beeline got to two Final Fours this decade and lost both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
One national title.
Ugh.
Most national titles, John Wooden with 10, Coach K with 5, Rupp with 4, Bob Knight, Roy Williams, and Calhoun all with 3.
3. Okay.
That's such a steep drop off from
Jim Calhoun.
Two.
Yeah, I know. I mean, isn't that the
he's
truth?
He's literally got twice as many as the guy in second.
That's crazy. Well, when you had Lou Alcindor and you had what's the guy? Bill Walton.
Bill Walton.
Both of those guys, they played in the era when you couldn't dunk. You weren't allowed to dunk.
Mm.
So they just lay it up. You were not allowed to dunk. You could only lay it in. There was an era in college basketball you could not dunk or it would not count.
Wow.
Is that crazy? That's crazy. All right. Is that it? Is that all
that's
you got?
I got?
That is, I don't mean, is that all you got? That was incredible. That's pretty cool to hear some of those names. All right, Trevor, take it away. College football.
Okay. Some of these, I wouldn't say there's a bunch that are unexpected.
Okay.
But then I picked out some specifically because they're weird.
Yeah.
I'll roll through them quick here. One that I liked, most consecutive games scoring a point.
Most
so in other words, a team that has not been shut out in a college football game since 1988 is the record.
What? I would say Notre Dame, but they've had some bad offenses.
I'll just tell you.
Oklahoma.
Florida.
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 Florida has not been shut out in a college football game since 1988.
Really?
They have the all-time record for 392 consecutive games scoring a point.
Nice. That's when I graduated high school. Think about that.
Which doesn't even make sense because you think about recent Florida teams, their offenses have stunk.
I know.
Ever since Tebow, they can't find a quarterback.
Chris Leak, baby, when you need him.
Most points scored in one game. Lon, you'll be familiar.
It was like 100.
What?
No, it was 200, right?
No, wait. Okay, sorry. Most points scored by one player.
Yeah, Howard Griffith.
Howard Griffith scored 48 points on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Against SIU.
So here's my notable SIU thing.
Okay.
I'm looking down the records, and immediately two of the top three records I see are things against SIU.
Oh, great.
The most points a player has ever scored in a college football game came against SIU.
I was there in the press box my sophomore year.
The longest field goal ever made in a college football game was kicked against SIU.
Are you serious?
In 1978, Joe Williams kicked a 67-yard field goal.
Oh, my God.
Against SIU.
Cheater.
What team?
It was a team. I want to say it was Murray.
Murray State
it was
or
some team like that.
Okay.
Maybe Creighton.
Incredible.
So SIU's in the wrong side of history twice there.
Wow. Well, at least we're there.
Longest punt ever.
Well, you told me this, so I'm going to let Derek guess.
The longest punt ever?
Longest punt ever. I think college and NFL both probably.
84 yards.
Nope. Not even close.
Keep going.
What?
Not even close.
93 yards.
Keep going. Not even close. Well, you're close.
98 yards.
99 yards.
No. No. No way.
Pat Brady of Florida punted a 99-yard punt in 1950.
Then they had a safety, and Florida kept their streak alive of points scored.
So he was at, I guess, the one and punted it to the other one.
99 yards.
Now, to be fair, I could see a situation where if it landed at the 30 and it took like a really nice
hop.
Well,
yeah, it had to have been like a hurricane wind.
Like, there's no way he actually kicked it. No. Like a net kick of 99
yards. But then it stops at the one and doesn't go in the end zone.
Right.
That's all he had was 99.
Crazy impressive.
Wouldn't that be funny the rest of his career? They're like, you couldn't even get to 100, could you? I tried, man.
Okay, most career yards as a player, and this combines passing and rushing. So it's going to be a quarterback.
Most career, Donovan McNabb.
Just all-purpose yards. Nope.
Michael Vick.
Somewhat recent. Now he didn't play enough. We just talked about this team and the NBA team in their city. The Rockets, which leads you back
David
to
Klingler.
Houston, no.
It's not David Klingler?
Houston quarterback.
I can't think
pretty
of
pretty mediocre pro, Case Keenum.
Really?
Wow.
Holds the most career all-purpose yards with 20,000.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
As a Houston quarterback.
Wow.
Most yards passing and rushing in a season, not a career.
Most
a
yards.
Season. I'll give you a hint. It was broken this year.
Was it really?
Joe Burrow.
Combined 6,000 all-purpose yards this year.
My goodness.
Between throwing and running.
I didn't know he ran that much.
Well, I don't think he did. It was probably mostly throwing.
38 rushing yards.
Let's see. Most yards in a game by a quarterback all-purpose.
Tony Eason.
Nope. This guy's tearing it up in the NFL right now. He's the next young stud.
Oh, the kid from Lamar?
Pat Mahomes.
Oh, Pat Mahomes.
He had 819 yards in one game for Texas Tech. Against Kansas.
He almost had 1,000 yards.
Jeez.
You need to answer the phone because I think we got Fletch on the phone. I'm going to hang up with you. All right. We'll continue when we'll start the 5 o'clock hour with some more of the college football from Trevor. And then next hour, we're going to go through Illinois football records and Illinois basketball records. I hope everybody's enjoying this. I am. So I guess,
learn a lot.
What the heck? Yeah, I think it is something that's really cool to learn from. All right, when we come back, let's visit with Adam Fletcher, Illini strength and conditioning coach. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315, 800-597-0315, or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Two Men in a Truck is the leader in all things moving. During this difficult time in our country, we're here to help you. As the movers who care, we're taking all necessary precautions to protect you, your belongings, and our employees daily. In Illinois, moving is an essential service to ensure shelter or the delivery of supplies, and we're open to help meet all of your home or business moving needs. For more information on how Two Men in a Truck is handling the coronavirus or to book a move, visit twomenchampagne.com. That's a smart move.
The goal at PDR Automotive in Urbana is a simple one: to provide you with the safe, reliable transportation in your vehicle. They aren't just after the quick fix to get you back on the road, but instead have two main priorities. They want you to feel safe in your automobile, and they want you satisfied with their work. PDR has been in business since 1973 for a reason. They give quality service and will explain every turn of the wrench. So call them the next time your car or truck has an issue at 367-9481 or visit them on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
All right, Nine. It's The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We'll continue with our college football superlatives, we're calling them. 99-yard punt. That's pretty cool, man, to say you had a 99-yard punt. Be like, yeah, that's my
squats.
Yeah. Hey, that's my grandpa. All right, it is time to welcome in on the phone lines Adam Fletcher, Illini strength and conditioning coach. First time I've ever talked to Adam Fletcher. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am great. I would imagine a guy like you that's fit and trim is going bananas right now, just being at home, essentially. And I know you're probably doing plenty of exercises, but is this just crazy for you right now?
It's certainly unprecedented, that's for sure. And I've had to get creative, but it's not all bad. You know, there's some good sides to it as well. So just trying to find the good with the bad.
All right, I want to ask you one thing. Trevor Valise said he saw you the other day at Harvest Market. He looked in his cart, and he had, like, Pringles and just all sorts of junk. You had, like, broccoli and all sorts of green. I want to know, and I think DB Burson kind of told us it was donuts, but what is, like, the one thing that you're like, I don't care, I like it, I know it's not good for me, I'm eating a lot of it?
Hey, it's sweet.
Yes.
You put a chocolate cake in front of me, and I'm gonna take it down. There's no doubt about it. I've got a major sweet tooth. It's DB and I have a joke running, and we call it the next day is punishment. So I've got to earn whatever I eat. I got to work it off the next day. So we have a lot of fun with that. You know, the other guy that's involved in that is our athletic director. Josh Whitman's not afraid of donuts either now. So as good a shape as he's in, he joins right there with us on the love of donuts.
I need to start eating donuts because both of you guys look pretty stinking good. Maybe that's the key. That's what I want to do.
Flesh DB mentioned a donut spot. Is it in West Lafayette? Where is it on the road that's the go-to?
Oh, yeah.
Hertz Donuts in Nebraska is the spot. Lafayette, we go to a little pie shop there. We've got a little circuit on the we call it the Big Ten Circuit. We kind of know where to go for the sweets on the road.
I love it.
Do you try to hide it from the players, or are you just like, hey, man, when you work out as much as I do, you can do what you want?
No, we talk about it. We talk about everything in moderation. You know, I think if you try to go too far extreme, really in anything, you know, you go crazy. So we make sure our guys are strict and have a good understanding of what to do. But we also say, you know, if there's a piece of chocolate cake and you want to eat it, you know, certainly we know that we burn enough calories and we earn it. We just don't want to go to the extremes and do it all the time.
So what are you having to do? What are you telling players back at home where maybe they walk by the chocolate cake in the kitchen?
Oh, mom's cooking.
What do you have to do? What's some creative activities that you got to do to stay in shape?
we're using an app. I've become the online strength coach, which certainly never thought that I'd be in this position, but it's made me grow. It's certainly making me become a better strength coach, get more creative, kind of think outside the traditional lines a little bit. But, you know, I think the other thing, and it's important to stress, is the culture that these guys have kind of built and where it does run itself. And as much as I give them, you know, general guidelines, I think their creativity and their willingness to find ways is what's probably the most important and impressive thing that's going on right now.
Is it stuff where, Fletch, you're giving them ideas on what they can do, or is there a tailored program to where you say, okay, grab a jump rope, you're jumping rope right now, or you're flipping a tire, or is it just, you know, you guys have to do this, but be creative while you're doing it?
There are guidelines. So they have a program that they can follow. And there's videos. I spent the first 4 days essentially filming all of my bodyweight exercise library, and I put that together in a platform that those guys have access to, So to answer your question, you know, we're still very specific in the way that we program.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that we're balancing pushing and pulling. You know, I think some of the early on stuff, the push-up challenges that were going around, right, that's good. And we talk all the time, any fool can make another fool tired. but we want to make sure that we're programming in a way that's balanced. So we're still balancing our push and our pull. And we're still making sure that the sets and reps make sense. It's not just, hey, go out there and, you know, go until complete exhaustion every day. It's still science-backed. The sets and reps still make sense. The exercise selection is still balanced, meaning we're training, you know, quads, hamstrings, calf, you know, we're training everything. And it's all body weight. Some guys have access to weights, and I've tailored the program to those guys.
Mm.
But the majority of us don't have access to anything. And that's where the creativity and the body weight exercises has kind of come into play. And, you know, to kind of build on that, there's ways that we can make that challenging. Compounding sets, you know, you may do an isometric push-up hold followed by push-ups. Isometric chin-up hold followed by chin-ups. Obviously, we can't overload the musculature system with external load, but we can use our body weight and mechanical disadvantages to still get the type of fatigue that we're trying to achieve at the muscle level.
Fletch, is the app interactive to the point where you punch in the reps and maybe if you're not happy with it, you have a pre-recorded message say, you know, come on now. Or is that the next step?
They have the option to film, you know, whatever they want to film. And take pictures of whatever it is. It's an interesting time where, you know, this is all, it's all their option. We can write the program so they have guidelines, but they're still, you know, having that option to basically make the decision to do it. So in terms of, you know, getting after a guy, you know, we're not doing that right now. But again, I fall back on our culture and, you know, the everyday guys, you know, you see it everywhere, but it's real. And they, you know, these guys are still attacking it and they're still doing a great job. So really, truthfully, there's not a whole lot to get in there and say, hey, you know, you're not giving your best effort. It's very clear that all of the guys are attacking it and excited about the work that they're putting in.
Visiting with Adam Fletcher, Illini Strength and Conditioning Coach. You can follow him on Twitter, @Adam_Fletcher41. He's the big dude in the tie on the bench when you're watching Illinois basketball. I was going to ask you, Adam, do you recommend to the kids, do you recommend to the guys that they get up at a certain time? You know, because, I mean, listen, we're all in this little funk right now where it's like, man, I could sleep till 10 if I wanted to. Do you recommend a certain time? And then how are you getting the cardio done?
Yeah, we're still, you know, we schedule's important. And our
right.
guys are still in class.
Oh, true,
and,
yeah.
And they're, you know, they're still following a schedule Monday through Friday. We talk about that all the time, you know. Setting yourself goals daily, achieving those goals to kind of keep yourself motivated. So, you know, that's important. And our guys, you know, they're doing a great job of that. The conditioning part, we're still doing. You know, Thursday's the mile run day. So they're, you know, they're competing with themselves on their mile run times. Tuesday is a more long duration conditioning day. So, if a guy can go on a longer jog, it's not necessarily, you know, you're trying to break a record, but it's just longer duration. DeMonte Williams, you know, went for a big bike ride on Tuesday. I know Georgie rides his bike. There's Kofi's been on the stairs at his apartment complex. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do the long duration conditioning stuff. You know, this time of year, traditionally, and it's really not changing for us now, you know, we're not necessarily focused on peak conditioning levels.
Right, right.
We're trying to maintain that aerobic capacity. I think that's the biggest question mark, right, for all of us, especially in the strength and conditioning field, is when we come back, what is that return to play look like, and how much time do we have? So just getting our guys to wrap their minds around maintaining that aerobic capacity, which is, you know, kind of your your longer duration conditioning capacity. If we think about the two, there's aerobic and anaerobic. Anaerobic would be like 30-second sprints with you know, 1-to-2 work-to-rest ratio. If you have the aerobic capacity, which is, you know, running a mile in under 6 minutes, for example, you know, that allows us to then get you back into the anaerobic conditioning that we need to get to be able to play the basketball game at a high level.
Got it.
So just really maintaining that long-duration conditioning capacity is kind of our focus right now.
So a guy like me, when I'm outside on a nice day, if I put the cooler of beer on the other end of the yard and I sprint to it and then walk back, that's not a bad workout, is it?
Yeah, that's yeah. I think we could call that lactic acid power capacity.
Hey, that's as long as I'm doing something right. I want to ask you, Cope, now you'd look at me and you'd laugh, but when I got to college at SIU, I actually started to lift a little. And I remember one time we had an intramural basketball game and I was lifting before the game. And then we started the game and I went to take about a 15-foot jump shot and I did everything. I wasn't a horrible shooter. I felt like I did everything right and it came up about 5 foot short. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck is that? How do you mix weight training during a basketball season? Doesn't that affect a shot or no?
No. It's, you know, our guys practice so much. It's one of those deals, you know, if I were a bodybuilder and I shot baskets consistently for a month and I got pretty good, and then I just decided I was going to stop shooting baskets and lift weights, and I came back, yeah, my shot might feel funny. But it's the consistency of the shooting, of the lifting, where when you're doing those two in harmony, it doesn't necessarily make your shot any better or any worse.
Okay.
It's the consistency of shooting. So, you know, if you walk up the stairs every day and you climb to the third story and then for the next month you take the elevator, and then the following month you decide you're going to walk up the steps, you're going to get tired again. So, you know, if you don't have the consistency, then certainly the shot could go away. But lifting has, you know, I think that's a myth that has long died. And you know, we train every day. We lift every day that we practice. Coach Underwood's awesome with that. And we actually get, you know, we're fortunate that Coach allows us to lift every day. And we have a lot of success with getting our guys stronger in the season.
Fletch, I know that the summer is a big time for you, and we hope that things get back to normalcy sooner rather than later. There's baseball being played, and the guys are back on campus and working out with you. But and we see especially how key that is for freshmen. I want to ask you what you did with Kofi this past season. But this upcoming summer, if that's not able to happen, if guys aren't able to come back and get in your program, how much do you think about that as far as what you'd have to do then, or how much would that affect, say, an Andre Curbelo who needs to add strength before he plays in the Big Ten?
Yeah, it's the biggest piece there, you know, when you specifically talk about Curbelo, I was just in conversation with him. Once they've signed, they can be doing our workouts. Now the only thing is, you know, can we get him to gain weight the way that we would if he had access to everything that we had access to here? And I think, you know, a guy like Curbelo is extremely intrinsically motivated. I think he's motivated to do those things, but that would be the only question mark. You know, I think that our training principles are very clear in what we're trying to get done. I think you know, those guys are doing their best to follow those principles, but the resources certainly that we would be able to provide here, that's the difference between a freshman you know, that's training at home and a freshman that's training here with me every day.
You look back last spring when Kofi was playing on TV for Oak Hill Academy, and the player that he was then and the player that he was at the end of this year, it's crazy how different he was. And with his conditioning, we on these airways wonder, could he play, was he playing 25 minutes a game, maybe 20, playing in spurts of 5 minutes? And he was playing 30 plus minutes a game in the Big Ten. What was, I know a lot had to go into it, but what was that like? How'd you approach that? And what do you think was just the biggest key for him to get him where he was leading into that season?
Yeah, it's, well, the biggest key was him and his willingness to allow me to coach him. And you know, that's not always easy for young guys, because you're completely shifting especially someone like him who's been physically dominant his entire life and has been able to get by on just being big, when you really start challenging that conditioning capacity, if they're not willing to give you that, then you're not going to make very good strides with them. And Kofi certainly, he never questioned it. Unwavering trust, unbelievable work ethic. I mean, he's FaceTiming me every day, you know, and he's wanting me to know that he's working. He's still working, you know. He's still doing. He FaceTimed me yesterday. He was running. It's he's a special kid. You know, he's got an unbelievable work ethic. That's really what. There's no secret, right? I mean, it's just his consistency. We write the program. The guys that do it with full heart and intensity, you know, those guys get those types of results. And Kofi he's special in that he allowed me to coach him at a really high level.
Adam Fletcher, our guest, strength and conditioning coach for Illini Hoops. I want to ask you about Austin Hutcherson, Jacob Grandison, the sit-out transfers. I'm sure you're maybe able to approach that a little bit differently or have them work out a little bit harder or trying to add muscle, especially during the season. With Hutch in particular, a guy we know that can really shoot it, he's got nice bounce to his game. What was he able to do this season while he's sitting out to maybe pack on some pounds and transform his body?
Hutch did a great job. He added great weight. He is a special athlete. I'll say that. It's the guys like him make me look good. You know, we'll get him to gain weight and keep him moving well. But when you see, you know, some of his athleticism at the rim, it's you know, his open court athleticism is special. You know, we got to continue to help him absorb the contact that he's going to be taking and be able to play through some of that. But certainly, like I said, his just raw athleticism is special. And he's put on good weight. You know, he's done a good job changing his body. I know that he's happy with what he's done and, you know, he's seen the changes in himself and certainly in the way that he was playing, you know, near the end of the season in practice. So it's been good for him. You know, Jake's been really good too. Both of those guys were special and really, you know, since I've been here, that's really the first year that I've had guys that were sitting out for the full year. And that's a big piece of development.
Not
there.
Bad.
The only other guy that I had close to that was Kipper in his first semester when he had to kind of sit out there, but it wasn't completely full set out. He was, you know, we were still utilizing him really heavily in practice, and both of these guys, because our roster was pretty full, you know, they weren't getting an unbelievable amount of reps, so I was still able to train them at a high level in the weight room.
Wrapping up with Adam Fletcher, Illini strength and conditioning coach. I got to know your role on the bench, coach, because you're active. Are you like, are you in Kofi's ear? Are you in Io's ear?
We know he's yelling stuff at Kofi.
Yes.
I'm assuming Kofi hears it.
I'm loving it, coach. I mean, what are you saying to him, coach?
It's all just positive encouragement. You know, I think if you look at my bench antics, you know, even over my years here, it's certainly calmed down a lot. I've kind of changed that. It's more just kind of talking to them when they come off now and slowing things down a little bit. I used to be really, really excited at the end of the bench. I think if you watch some of my early John Gross years, you know, probably too much. And now I've kind of moved up the bench a little bit and honestly kind of sit down a whole lot more. But it's a positive encouragement. You know, you talk those guys through different situations. I can't do any game planning, so really my stuff's all just small mental nuggets here and there to kind of keep a guy positive.
Yeah.
or really keep a guy level, you know, just depending on where the game's at, what's going on. That's kind of my role.
I mean, so next year, let's say Illinois is up like 20 on Northwestern with about two to play. Aren't you itching to get a technical just one time, you know, just jump in somebody's face or come on, let's do it.
I'd be in a bad way with Coach Underwood if I did that. But there's times, you know, especially early on in the year, I think some people probably saw me, you know, chirping Kofi, and we knew that we had to get him at a level in the non-con because we knew what was coming in conference.
Right.
You know, and you're constantly trying to change and mold a guy's mind around, you're dominant right now, but pretty soon that's not going to be the guy you're going against. So getting him to play outside of his comfort zone, push through media timeouts, we were running him long early, not getting him out around medias. We were trying to play him through that purposely to prepare him for you know, down the stretch whenever sure. everyone was seeing him play 30 and 32 minutes a game and wondering how, you know, how is that happening. You know, we kind of used that non-conference to build him up. And there were certainly times in that non-conference where it looked like he was pulling a trailer down the court, but we were doing that on purpose.
Absolutely.
And really trying to push that zone.
It's always fun, Adam, to watch these kids when they're freshmen and then all of a sudden they're seniors, although anymore that hardly happens. It seems like they're gone before then. But to see them just continue to grow, you know, their shoulders get bigger. I mean, it's just everything, and it's amazing to see the transformation. I know you're a guy that has so much to do with that. Adam Fletcher, great stuff, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay busy.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All Thanks, right, buddy. Fletch. Adam Fletcher, Illini strength and conditioning coach at Illinois. Follow him on Twitter, at Adam_Fletcher41. That's a cool nickname, Fletch, but I felt bad calling him Fletch because I've never met him. I don't feel like you can call somebody their nickname if you haven't met.
Ask Andrew about him. He'll say, oh, yeah, Fletch.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, Andrew.
Well, they probably met.
Well, I'm sure Andrew's met him. Of course he has. All right, from one strength and conditioning coach to now a physical therapist, we're going to ask Matthew Gordon at the Mettler Center. We're going to ask him, maybe, yes, we are, on how you bring the gym to your house since we can't get out. We'll do it next. Drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We'll get back to our lists, our college football and college basketball records. Next hour, we're going to focus in on Illinois football and Illinois basketball, and we'll let Trevor finish his college football. We're just kind of throwing out stats, and then tomorrow we're going to go more of the professional, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA, that kind of stuff. I've even got a little NASCAR for you in there. So we'll do all that. We're doing that today and tomorrow. It's just basically we know everybody out there is lazy right now, especially now. And so we're doing the work for you. Matthew Gordon, I know you're not lazy, director or doctor of physical therapy. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Our gym is a little slow right now because, you know, people are staying home. So I still get to work out kind of with a great experience right now. It's awesome. But like you said with the question, not everyone gets to do that anymore.
No, they don't. And let me tell you, I for one have been proud of myself. I've gotten out about every day, gone on a long walk. I've started to mix in a little bit of running with that. But, you know, this is hard. It's easy to become lazy when you're at the house and when you're not up moving. And when you get off your routine, I think bigger than anything is just getting off routine. So today I thought to myself, how do you bring the gym to the house? And, you know, not only avoiding injuries, but also maintaining a little bit. I mean, maybe you don't work out as hard as you would if you're at Mettler Center and working on the weights. But how do you bring the gym to the house? What do you recommend for people?
Well, I think the first thing, and this is even true in the gym, is you need to find someone who's going to help drive you, because working out is tough. It's not something we naturally always want to do. So if you can find someone that's going to push you, that's great. I think one of the best things you can do is to try and get like a three-person, you know, group going, where you know, you just kind of hope that on any given day, one of the three of you is like, "Come on, guys, like we got this." You know, maybe you find someone you know you can slightly beat, just to always make sure you're feeling good about yourself. But find someone that's going to push you. Find someone who's going to do the workouts with you. Once you have that partner and you're kind of ready to go, I think the biggest thing to think through is just, you know, starting slow, especially if people have taken, you know, the past now almost 3 weeks off.
Right.
You know, remember, you're not going to jump right back into whatever you've been doing. So start off slow. Maybe you just start off with a couple exercises. You do one or two sets of them. You know, feel it out the next day. If you feel okay the next day, then when you come back, so you take 2 days off in between lifts. So if you're feeling okay 2 days later, then all of a sudden you can do something a little bit heavier or a couple extra sets or reps. But I think all the time, there are so many great things out there that you can log into. So
right.
If you're looking for something really challenging, I know one of the things I did was I signed up for an app through Chris Hemsworth. It's called Center Six. And it's a workout program through him, and it's been super fun.
That sounds
terrible. Unfortunately, I don't look like Thor yet. I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to try and get my money back because, but in their defense, I'm only like 2 weeks through a 6 week program.
Oh, so, yeah. You got time.
Yeah. I got 4 weeks to look like Thor. And if you know Avengers, I mean Thor from not the final one. I don't want the big Thor. I want the, you know, muscle Thor.
Love it.
But, you know, I think if you can find an app, if you're older and you don't know where to start, Silver Sneakers has a great YouTube page.
Okay.
If you want something a little bit more challenging, something like this. If you're, you know, just wanting something that's body weight, you know, push-ups are great to do. Squats, certain kinds of lunges, front, back, side, going on diagonals. Any kind of balance that you can do. See if you can stand on one leg and take your other in-air leg forward, diagonal to the side, diagonal back, and straight back. And see if you can actually control your hip and ankle of the stance leg. Burpees are always the best and the worst part of any workout.
Right.
You know, tricep dips have come under some fire recently and in regards to not being a great exercise because they put your shoulder at potential risk for injury. But if you don't go all the way down, those can be a really safe exercise.
Okay.
There's a great video out there by a guy named Jeff. I believe his last name's Cavalier. He runs a YouTube channel called Athlene X, and he's got a great series on 10 different push-up styles that you can do. I know currently here at Mettler Center, we're trying to put together videos for patients to do. So hopefully we'll have that up and going for people soon. But, I mean, there's so many things out there anymore that you can do. The most important thing is start something. And if you hear that little voice go, don't start there.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't do that one. Do something that's a little easier. Start with just one set of like 10 or one set of 15, 20. See if you feel okay.
Makes sense.
And then if you do, progress it from there. The worst thing you can do is, I don't know if you remember the series they did back in when I was in high school, it was P90X.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone got injured with that. Yep. High schoolers were getting injured with that because they were trying to do something that professional people were doing and they were breathing hard. So, you know, find something you feel comfortable with, do it for a week or two, and then if you're feeling good, progress from there. The worst thing you could do right now is jump in all gung-ho because you have this extra time at home and then injure yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem. There's no doubt. All right, Matthew Gordon, that's a lot of information. And again, just jump on a YouTube, jump on an app, help yourself out. And like you said, challenge other people. I think that's a wonderful idea. It's always great to visit. As always, Doctor of Physical Therapy Matthew Gordon at the Mettler Center.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.